live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, hello, hello.
I am Jared, the football genius Burgess.
I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, a.k.a. the Advantage Coach.
And this is episode 180 of the Field to the Real podcast.
We're in closer.
Yeah, it's getting super close. And so with 20 episodes to go before 200, it's about 4 months. We'll probably take some time at Christmas.
Over the holidays, yep. So 5 months.
Yeah, so 5 months. You say about 5 months.
5 months.
So we're looking at April, which would be perfect if it could land on spring break, because then we could almost do this.
Yeah, we could actually plan it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. I ain't seen my sister in person since November.
You moved me here. Yeah.
It's been almost a year. That was November 5th, if I remember correctly.
Yep. November 4th. It was October 5th. You moved me to Charlotte.
November 4th.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Man.
Yes. Hopefully it won't be April before you see me, but yeah.
Yeah, nah. We gonna have to fix that. We gonna have to fix that.
Listen, I don't want it to be April before you finally see me.
Yeah. You know, yeah. We able to move around a little more now, so.
Yeah. Things are feeling a little better. So, we're going to make it happen. Don't worry. I'll see you, bro.
Yeah. Nah, we're going to have to. Listen. Well, let's go ahead and dive into this. Who's really right? It's funny. All of the stuff that you have on here, with maybe the exception of the Brittany Griner story, are all things that I was thinking to talk about. I think that we had mentioned this months ago that, you know, pretty much Stephanie has taken over, you know, with choosing the stories and choosing the topics. And, you know, if it's something that I really want to talk about, I'll add it to the list of the topics. But for the most part, like, we kind of always are in step with what to talk about. And I know you probably be thinking to yourself, like, are you just agreeing with me because, you know, But for real, like, a lot of the stuff that, a lot of the stuff that you choose are things that I see and I'm like, oh, I want to talk about this.
Yeah.
And then it just magically shows up on.
Well, you know, we've been doing this a long time now. So yeah. I think I got where we are. Like, you know what I mean? I pay attention to us and how our energy moves. And so a lot of times when I see something, it's not even just who I want. It's who I know this will be a good thing. Talk about.
We still talk about things during the week, like we'll discuss stuff you'll send me or I'll send you and stuff like that. So so you know, even through that, like, we just kinda know the stories that'll hit at us. So as soon as I saw that Brittany Griner story on there, I was thinking to myself, I was like, oh yeah, I knew my sister was gonna talk about this.
I'm gonna need y'all to get it together. Anyway, okay.
All right, but let's jump into who's really right. I'm sorry.
All right.
Who's really right? Yeah. What team is going to be the team that's going to upend the Eagles? Okay.
Yeah. And so they're undefeated.
Undefeated right now, which is crazy. They are leading the NFC East division.
Yeah.
And so to this right now, actually. So for those of y'all who don't know, we record on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Right now they are in the midst of playing the Cardinals. I don't know what's going on, so I can't even tell you. It just started though. Yeah. Next week they play the Cowboys. The week after they play the Steelers. Then the Texans. Then the Washington football team.
And then Commanders. The Colts. Who do they play next?
The Packers.
The Packers, the Titans.
Packers, Titans, Giants, Bears.
Cowboys. And then
again.
They back to they NFC because it's the Cowboys, Eagles, and Giants again. So at the end there.
Well, they end off with the Saints.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah, Saints at Eagles on January 1st.
Okay.
I don't think either of us believe that this team will go undefeated.
No.
So
I thought they would be better.
I thought they would be better too, but not undefeated at this point.
I feel like Yeah, I feel like Jalen Hurts is comfortable. They've clearly, like we did, we talked about this, how the team is really rallied around him.
Right.
He brought his boy there. Like, I feel like they really gave him some autonomy and some confidence, like a boost of confidence. And it's showing on the field way more than I thought it would, in all honesty. Yeah.
No, I agree. And I remember when we talked about this at the beginning of the season, I just didn't see it, like, as far as them, like, being a great team. I knew that they would be better than they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
But what team do you think this unbeaten streak is going to fall to?
Well, I'm not confident in the Cardinals being the team that they're going to lose to at this point. I haven't really seen anything to make me think any differently. Clearly, the Cowboys. Anyway, Steelers, I don't know what y'all do. And I would have wanted to save my team, but I can't. Yeah. I cannot. Texans, whatever. Commanders, I think it'll be the second half of the season.
Okay.
I think they're going to darn near go perfect. Like, about 10-0 before they get that.
Before they get that to the point to lose.
Real person. And I think, because here's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The look on Aaron Rodgers' face this morning.
Losing to the Giants.
After losing to the Giants. Mm-hmm. Is one of pure disgust.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think he's going to stop. I don't want to say that. I was about to say something. He's going to pick it up. And he's going to have to lead this team, basically, which he has not done, in my opinion.
Right.
He just kind of going with the flow. Like, this is what's going on. But you're there and you don't like to lose. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like by the time they get to this point in the season, the Packers are going to be better.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be a problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that'll be the first time they get to move.
They get
to, yeah, get to that deal.
All right, so my choice is going to surprise you.
Okay,
they're going to lose to the Cowboys.
Like next week?
Next week they're going to lose to the Cowboys. I believe that game is in Philly.
It is.
That game is in Philly, but I believe it's a prime. Like, it's a primetime game, if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
Yep, 8:20.
8 o'clock, yeah.
Next Sunday.
Yep.
That defensive line and that front seven is going to make it a long day for the Eagles' offensive line and Jalen Hurts. Okay. And I think that that's going to be the way that they win the game. And I still think that the Eagles still go on a run after that, and you know they win a bunch of games. But I think that when you have a division rivalry game like this, it doesn't matter how good one team is and how bad the other team is.
Yeah,
this is the game where everybody, you know what I'm saying, holds on to their pride, and sometimes the lesser team says, "Listen, we're not going to take this line down. We're going to get to it." And I think that the Cowboys have enough to do that.
So let me ask you this. Is Dak back next week?
No, I think they win this game with Cooper Rush. I think they run the ball pretty well. I think they throw when they have to, but I think they play good, solid defense, and that's how they'll win the game.
Because that's the thing that I think has been more surprising about the Eagles is the defense.
Oh, yes.
So, okay. One
of the things that I've seen from the and I agree with you, but one of the things that I see is that Darius Slay hasn't played up to the potential that we saw from him out of Detroit. And so he's been getting roasted all over the field. I think that maybe he's able to kick it in the gear for the rest of this year, but we had to see.
We hadn't. We okay. Yeah. We gonna see.
We're going to see.
We're going to see. Well, y'all let us know who's y'all really right.
Who's really right? Real good topics.
Yeah.
All right. So, Draymond Green. Now, I know you got a lot to say about this. He was in practice, and the reports came out that he had punched Jordan Poole. But it sounded kind of just like some stuff that usually happens in, you know, a practice or a locker room. And so until we saw the footage, we kind of just had our own picture in our mind of kind of what happened. Mm-hmm. After seeing this footage and seeing exactly what happened, it's fair to ask, is this going to hurt the Warriors?
I certainly hope not. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that gives me hope that they'll be okay is their leader kind of coming out and I don't know if they told him to do this or if this was just him, but Steph coming out and saying it wasn't what y'all thought, like it ain't, you know what I mean? Kind of to your point at the beginning, like these kind of things happen, emotions go, people get, you know, amped up and hyped up. And of course we have seen Draymond have, how do I want to say it? Problems, beef with even Kevin Durant before. So that, if we're going on that, it's kind of scary, but I don't know. I don't know that they're very, I feel like this is a very mature team. Even though some of them are young, there's lots of veteran leadership on this team.
Right.
And I feel like because of that, they will find a way to put it aside. They've had to before. Mm-hmm. And just go out and do what they do. It almost becomes professional versus personal. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
When we on this court, it's business.
Yeah.
I don't really have to like you, but I got to play with you.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens to all of us at on our jobs at some point in time, I'm sure. I don't like you, but I got to work with you.
That's true. I'm going to tell you why this is different.
Okay.
Removing the obvious, because I've seen locker room fights get way worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
But we as men, we can fight, shake hands, and be friends afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
When you add in that this footage was leaked, that enters a different dynamic that hits at the pride of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe we would have been able to get past this if no one sees the video.
Right.
But now everybody is commenting after having seen the video, and I'm talking about everybody in the NBA. And Jordan Poole is going to have a very hard time with this for a long time. This isn't something that's going to leave the media cycle immediately. This is going to be talked about for the duration of the season. And from this angle, Jordan Poole is going to be up for an extension at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So is Draymond Green. Now, Draymond Green has a player option for the following year.
Okay.
I see the Warriors trading Draymond Green. And I'll tell you why. His antics, now they won another championship, and I get it. His antics caused them Kevin Durant. At some point, your antics are a little more than what you're worth. I think that Jordan Poole has proven that he's a bona fide star in this league. And you are going to have to choose between the two of them anyway. It's probably best that you get something for Draymond instead of allowing him to walk in free agency. I think right now, while his value is still high, I don't think he gets traded before the season starts. But I think he gets traded. I think that the owner is probably sick of kind of putting out the fires that he's lit. And I think that's how they're going to – he's due $25 million this year. They're going to have to pay Jordan Poole. They are probably going to have to pay Andrew Wiggins. They may let him walk. But okay.
That would be dumb.
Now, I do understand that people say that Draymond Green is the backbone of this team. He's the heartbeat of this team. Listen, Steph Curry is what makes this team go.
That's why you see me looking up like Draymond. I mean,
well, you know, most people
he's the energy of the team. He right. is the energy guy of the team, but I don't think right. he's the backbone of the team. But what's happened in this situation is a direct, it's almost like a parent and a kid. Mm-hmm. When you do not correct behaviors mm-hmm. and set expectations with your children, when they do things that are out of character or outside of the line, guess what? They're going to continue to push the envelope mm-hmm. because at some point they start to believe that you're not going to do anything to them.
Right.
And they can get away with anything. Mm-hmm. And they're just going to keep pushing the envelope and pushing right. the envelope. And so what we are seeing is leadership having dropped the ball and putting Draymond on notice of the expectations and the boundaries. And I know they tried to do let him be him, and I but we all have rules to follow.
Mm-hmm.
We all have boundaries to stay within.
Right.
Even within our personality,
mm-hmm.
we have to. There are boundaries, and right. so I feel like the lack of accountability for him in his actions has led us to where we are right now.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. I personally, I don't like his antics. I love his energy.
Mm-hmm.
I love the effort.
You can't get
one
without the other.
You can't, I guess. Well, you mm-hmm. could if you did it. If they had played this right, they could. But it's okay. Oh, yeah. At this point, it's a lost cause. Mm-hmm. But I just really, I hate that that this has even happened and that again, that, you know, somebody thought it was a good idea to put this out there. The business of what goes on in the house, even being put out in the streets, kind of worries me in that regard, too. So, I don't know what's going to happen. I feel like they'll be, this may jeopardize an opportunity to make it back to the championship, honestly. But, so that is the effect that I feel like it will have. But I feel like they'll still have a good season. It'll just, they might not, you know, cohesively. This is, I think, the thing that makes them such a dynamic team. And even with the changing of pieces, and even major pieces like Kevin Durant, they've still operated as a team.
Right.
And I feel like that has always been like one of their superpowers. But yeah. I'm just not sure that, you know, because at the end of the day, even if this was a brothers and sisters thing and one sibling and another had an argument, 9 times out of 10, somebody's taking sides.
Yeah.
And that's going to be where a division comes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Steph will have to listen. Thank God he knows the Lord, because he's going to have to do a lot of praying.
A lot of praying, a lot of media.
For his team to kind of be that glue to bring them back together, for real.
I'm going to tell you the added layer to this, too, and then we can move on.
Okay.
You know, the head coach's story about having been punched in the face with arguably the greatest player.
Steve Kerr. Yeah.
I think his talking points in his press conference was telling. I think they're sick of
Draymond. I didn't see it.
Yeah. Nobody in the organization, including Curry, felt like this, whatever Poole was doing, warranted what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
nothing ever warrants you putting your hands on another person like that.
Right. I think that it was only exacerbated by the fact that Draymond Green came out and really didn't take accountability for what he had done. If you listen to his press conference, his apology was more of a, let me get this out the way because I said that I would do it, as opposed to like, I genuinely feel bad for what I did to him. And it didn't, what he did, what he may have done, didn't warrant it. If you listen to it, it seemed more like, I'm upset with whoever leaked the video.
That sounds fair. That sounds about right for him, though. Again, nobody's held him accountable for his actions. So it's like, why y'all want me to be all of a sudden regretful for something I did? Y'all let me get away with everything else.
Yeah.
It's a spoiled kid. It's a brat. I don't know what else to tell. I don't know another way to put it. Right. This is brat behavior.
Yeah.
It's brat behavior. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So. We'll see.
Let's jump into you know, our thoughts on Brittany Griner and the media or the lack of media coverage that she's experiencing as she goes up for this appeal in Russia. Do you feel like not enough outlets are kind of boosting it like they were a few months ago?
It's like crickets.
That's necessary?
It's crickets. That's what it's been. Crickets. Mm-hmm. The only reason we're talking about this now is because her wife came out and said Britney is at her lowest point ever. Mm. That was her words.
Yeah.
Only reason this was even in the news again at all was because she came out and said that. Nobody's talking about Britney Griner.
Well, so I didn't hear the story about her wife. Yeah. And I want to be fair because when I heard that she was up for, now, don't get me wrong, the media coverage is nowhere where it was when everybody was saying, like, you know, we playing for Brittany Griner, you know what I'm saying? Let's get her home from Russia. Like, it's nowhere near how it was a couple months ago. But, the story that I heard from Brittany Griner or heard about Brittany Griner was that she was up for appeal. And like, I don't know how Russia's legal system works. I didn't even know that was.
Right. A possibility. Right.
Right. And so hearing that, I felt like, okay, like hopefully, like, you know, but what it seems like is like her detainment is kind of being used as a political play from Russia. And the U.S.'s response, or lack thereof, is because of what Russia is attempting to do.
It's the we don't negotiate with terrorists type ideology, basically.
Right.
Okay. Got it. But I want to say this. You read that about that because we are not the average American.
Right.
We follow sports.
Right.
We don't just look at what's being said on ESPN. We go dig and we're those kinds of people that we're going to find those stories that are not just headline, that are not just front page.
Right.
Because I haven't seen this story about, I have not seen this. So you had to be doing some digging as a sports person to see this story about our appeal. It is not being put out there. It is not. And I'm just like, what is going on? It just, from an African-American female perspective, is the only way I can talk about this anymore. I can't talk about it in Brittany Griner being WNBA star versus LeBron or them getting some other person out of there versus, but I can only look at this as a Black female. I'm about to, like, literally I get emotional about this because it is just the hardest thing to live in a country where we are seen as the least of a person. And that is real.
Yeah.
And so this young lady, being a Black woman, is seen as the least of a person. So no effort, little effort, little to no effort, whatever you want to call it, is put into it because she's just a Black woman from America. At the end of the day.
Do you think that if this is Sue Bird who's over there and they're using her as like a political ploy or a political place?
First of all, she would have been gone before this war started. She would have been gone before this war started.
Yeah.
Because there's more value on her life. Mm-hmm. Period.
Are you saying that our country would have done more for her?
Yes, absolutely. The outrage in the country would have been more. And we all know that we now are a society that is dominated by pressure and cancel culture and culture, period. And right. So a white woman being detained in Russia on some pretty flimsy stuff would have been outrageous. And people would have been outraged and offended. And it would have been like, what are we doing to get her home? And all of that would have taken place. But only the people who are Black woman allies were outraged and outspoken about Brittany Griner. Yeah. And guess who most of them are?
Mm-hmm.
Other Black women.
Mm.
If Sue Bird's wife was on television crying about her wife being in this horrible situation, listen, the empathy and sympathy that would have been felt across this country would have been, it would, that Biden would have had no choice. But whatever that meant to get her home.
So I'm not suggesting that all of what you said isn't true. You know what I'm saying? You know how I feel about Black women. You know what I'm saying? You know, I see a lot of the same things that you see. I think in this specific instance, looking at what Russia is asking for in return for her, I don't know if that decision can be made for just one person.
But that wasn't the case from the beginning, was it? In the beginning, when this first went down,
when this hasn't
always been what they were asking for.
No. So they took their time to decide because they weren't going to let her go just immediately. And I don't think anybody in that position would have just been let go immediately. I think that Russia would have still gone with the political play because they don't care anything about what we got going on over here. Like,
no, they don't. I know that. It's not them. It's us. But for sure. Yes.
Right. And so in negotiations, they would have took the long game too. Like, okay, we're going to let her sit over here for a while. Now, we're going to see how much pressure you guys get to get her out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what we want. Now, apparently what they want is they want some of the sanctions to be taken off of them.
Those sanctions weren't on when she went over there.
Huh?
Some of those sanctions weren't on when she got arrested.
Well, those things kind of coincided with each other. And I think the biggest thing was this... I don't even know what to call him, but he's pretty much an international like hitman slash.
Oh yeah, the mercenary.
Mercenary, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not in the position to make the decision to say if that would be giving up too much for our country. But I know, especially with trying to protect Ukraine in this war and the amount of money that we've invested into them, I think that it would be very difficult for any person that was over there to kind of just go back on that. You know, there's some things at play with this that I feel make it not so black and white. Now, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of things that go on in our country, you know, without us having to, you know, settle like international beefs that we can look at and say like, yo, now this is certainly racial. This is certainly, you know what I'm saying, an injustice against a black woman. I think in this situation, there are so many different parts to it.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people who would have been in this situation, and people will automatically say, well, I think Steph Curry, LeBron James would have been home already. I question if that's the truth. And you know, my stance on this, along, like, you know, when we first talked about it was, you know, your value is in how much money you make for white people. You know what I'm saying? And so,
or how much value you have.
Right. Well, but I think that, you know what I'm saying, equates to like, how much money are you making for some of these people who run this country? And I'm not talking about our politicians. I'm talking about the people who truly run this country.
Right.
Lobbyists. How much money you're making for them. Lobbyists. And them, yep, putting, those are the people who put the pressure.
Yes.
Not necessarily the public outcry. But yep. I'm sorry, I spent too much time on that. And we got to move on.
But no,
you understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do. I know there's a lot at stake at this point. There's,
yeah.
But and that's why I said what I said. I'm speaking just because as a black woman, mm-hmm, it hits different.
Right. Yeah.
It just hits different. And I'm not saying that that's the only reason that she's, mm-hmm, still there. But as a black woman, I know that there is less value on, mm-hmm, her than there would be on anybody else.
Right.
So that is all I'm saying. I get what you're saying. There is so much more at stake and at play here than just her being a black woman. But I cannot not mention look that. At this from that, mm-hmm, from that perspective, being that I am a black woman in America. Right. I cannot.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Woosah. Yeah, I love it. It's a woosah moment.
Yeah.
Let's jump into this this story about
your goat.
Our goats.
Okay. Yeah.
So LeBron is attempting, and he's making his intentions known to be one of two black owners in the NBA. With an expansion team in, I hear, Las Vegas, which he's really attempting to, or possibly Seattle.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this?
What? Love it. Let's go. Now, I don't know. Does that mean he didn't retire? Because I don't, can you own and play for another team? Maybe he would go to Las Vegas or Seattle? I don't know. Like,
if you remember, MJ came back. MJ started and he owned a piece of the Washington Wizards.
Yeah.
MJ had to sell his stake in the team to come back and play.
Exactly.
Which is the reason why he now owns the Hornets and not the Wizards.
Yeah.
So you're able to own and coach. I mean, not own and play.
Okay, so we'd be looking at LeBron's retirement at the, mm-hmm, time that he was able to purchase this team.
Right.
I mean, well, we know how I feel about LeBron's basketball game. So I'd be okay with this. I love it from the standpoint of I was watching The Pivot this morning with Tamron Hall. And
I see. Okay.
It was so good. And so one of her things was, because of her experiences as a Black woman in America, trying to be a part of media, when she had this opportunity to have her own show, she has been intentional about making space and opportunities for others who are like herself. And she said, I don't discriminate. It's not that my staff is diverse, but they are probably a majority Black women, because I know there's nowhere else for them to be if I don't give them the opportunity. Yeah. And so I see this as, because again, I love Michael's game, not so much the person, i.e., but I love LeBron, the person, not so much his game, right?
Yeah.
So I see, we already have seen, LeBron has already been very, very active in the things that he's a part of already in making opportunities for other people of color to have what they may not have had otherwise. And so I feel like this, for him, gives him the chance to truly make a difference in the NBA and the way it looks from the standpoint of the front office all the way down.
I love it. You know, I love it.
You know, I know you love it, but you're going to miss him on the court, but
And an expansion team isn't imminent, so I think this is a few years away, but I think that he is putting his bid in now. Like, yo, listen, when we expand, like, I'm ready.
Look, I got that paper. Let's go. That's right. Yeah. No, I love this for him. I hope it works out. He would be an amazing owner.
Yeah, definitely.
He would be an amazing owner. I think he would change the whole landscape of what even ownership in professional sports, not just basketball, but professional sports, what it looks like, because he has the natural ability, and he's almost like, I don't know the ins and outs of the Mavericks team, but like a Mark Cuban type.
A player's owner.
Player's owner, and I love that. I would love to see that for him. Good stuff. Right.
Now let's jump to this Deion Sanders story. I saw it this morning, and I was disappointed. You know what? We'll start with that. We'll start with that part. We'll start with Deion Sanders. And he's always mic'd up, which is a good thing, because we probably wouldn't have known about this.
Always got somebody following him with a camera.
Exactly. And so he was coming out doing his customary lap around the field like he usually does. Mm-hmm. And that was mentioned by Eddie Robinson Jr., who is the son of famed coach Eddie Robinson, who was at Grambling State for all of those years. Coached so many great players. He's a legendary coach. And he mentioned that in the press conference. But when he mentioned that, no one had heard this audio yet. So the audio came out. Where he was doing his lap, and he had to kind of make his way between the Alabama State players because they had kind of taken up part of
they weren't on the field. They were kind of like in the, on the outside of the field.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, some of their players were on, because he made the decision to go around because there were a lot of their players that were right in there in the end zone where he would have gone. So he ends up going around, and you hear a player and I won't repeat what he said, but he was pretty much cursing at him and disrespecting, you know, someone who, you know, most people view as a legend in football, you know.
He's the coach of the other team.
Yeah.
Forget that. Like, who cares? We're not talking about Deion prime time. We're talking about Deion, head coach of Jackson State. That's it. That's all that needed to be said.
Right.
For you not to be disrespectful and cursing at him.
Well, I mean, the fact that he is a man, you know what I'm saying? Like, and what you said was disrespectful. But I think, and this is why I can't separate Deion's legacy and kind of what he's been doing at Jackson State.
That's the other part. You wouldn't have this shot to be where you are right now, probably, without him doing what he's doing. What Bingo. Are you talking about, you disrespectful little snot? That's how I feel. I'm sorry.
I'm with you. A rising tide lifts all boats. Before Deion Sanders had come to Jackson State, the SWAC and all of Black college football wasn't getting the type of recognition that it's getting right now. And so I understand being a competitor. I understand being at the point of feeling like, hey, you know, this guy, he's coming into the conference and, attempting to outshine us and whatever. But at the end of the day, when you sit down and think about it, there still is a level of respect that you should have for, one, a man, two, an adult, the opposing coach, and three, someone who is helping to raise the profile of all Black college sports and all Black college programs. And it was just disappointing to see that. You know what I'm saying? It was disappointing to see that. And then to take it a little bit further, when you look at the post-game interview of the opposing coach, Eddie Robinson Jr., and some of the things that he had said, first him deciding not to embrace Coach Prime after shaking his hand and kind of doing like that public spectacle. I get it. Shake his hand and move on. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to embrace him, but at the same time, again, your father is who your father was, and you know what I'm saying? Like,
would you have been okay? That's fine.
Right. Your father would not have been okay with that.
I just...
And then with some of the stuff that he said, and he was like, he's not SWAC.
Yeah.
SWAC isn't getting the amount of attention that it's getting unless he's here. And you got to respect that. It's unfortunate that he doesn't.
The disappointment that I have in that program. We went there. Remember, that's where we went and interviewed Coach Flea, who now happens to work with
Jackson State. Yeah.
I just am... I expect more when, especially when you are at a HBCU. I don't expect this from anybody, but I would accept this more from a PWI. But when for... As long as I can remember, I've heard this, crabs in a barrel. And how we would rather pull somebody down than to see them get out or get up. This is illustration at its finest. And so seeing Eddie Robinson Jr.'s post-game press conference explains the attitude of your players. I can't even be mad at the little snot when this is probably the verbiage and the things that are being said aloud from your coach about somebody else and somebody else's team. And the level, it is just audacious. It is the audacity of this person to allow that to be okay. You are not just responsible for coaching a football team. You are responsible for molding young men.
Yes.
And if you are molding young men in this way,
yeah, because all that was about was ego.
It's sickening. It's sickening.
And you try to throw a little bit of niceties in there, but it's disgusting. Truly, it was about ego.
Just disgusting. Put your pride to the side, please. And respect that man for who he is and what he's doing.
Real roll call.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I'm going to use my time at this time because we have
gone. I understand.
Over time.
Those topics were some serious things.
They were. And you know what I'm saying? A lot of them we could still be talking about.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna put the time on a minute each one. We got three topics. Okay. We're gonna start off with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
He looks bad.
Yeah.
Is this going to continue and go?
So I just sent you what made me feel a little better, right? He has an injury. What is it? A torn labrum. Mm-hmm. So that makes me feel a little better about what's going on. And I feel like the rest, we'll see what happens. He doesn't play again till next week. Mm-hmm. So next Monday, I think it is. So we'll see where he is. I'm glad that he went to LA to get help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned at all. You know what I'm saying? I feel like this is growing pains with a new team. You know what I'm saying? I think that Russell Wilson is the quarterback that we thought he was.
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying? And they just learning how to play together. I'm not that concerned about this.
Okay.
You know, it's four.
And the fact that he's hurt makes me know it's because some of those balls just would just like tank. Yeah. I was like, what is that? Like, that makes me feel good. Like, whoa, what's going on? So, yeah, good stuff.
All right, look, right on time.
Yep.
All right. If the Cowboys quarterback, the backup quarterback, Cooper Rush, beats the Cardinals, will there be a discussion about QB1? And go.
Of course. That's just going to happen. Of course there will be. Now, should he be QB1? Absolutely not. But will there be discussion? That is just going to, that's the nature of the game. We've seen it happen a number of times, how Drew Brees ended up in doggone New Orleans in the first place, how Tom Brady became Tom Brady. Like, it just is what it is. It's going to be, those are the discussions that will naturally happen.
Right. You just gave two really good examples.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tom Brady became Tom Brady. And at the time, they didn't think Drew Bledsoe, they thought Drew Bledsoe needed to be the leader of this team. And Tom Brady just came and showed week after week that he should be the guy.
Yeah.
And Drew Brees is Drew Brees, but Phillip Rivers, you know what I'm saying, really good quarterback. And so I think that getting to see Cooper Rush in this fashion, he may end up being QB1.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what I'm hoping for.
I know you want him to be QB1.
Well, you know, because I want Dak to come to
DC. Dak to leave. Yes, of course. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Now, DK Metcalf was carted off the field. Not due to injury, but to the bathroom. And go.
What in all of the world is going on? I remember, was this last year? Maybe it was 2020 because it was COVID year. When Lamar Jackson ran off the field to go to the bathroom. Yeah. But he used his legs. Bro, don't scare people like this. That's just wrong.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you what probably happened.
Are you going to tell me the things that I've seen the social media saying? Go ahead.
Oh, maybe. I haven't even seen social media to see this part.
Okay.
DK, either had to go so bad that if he had a run, he would have gone on himself.
Yep.
Or he did go on himself, and he wasn't trying to show you guys what happened. So,
he wouldn't have made it if he had a,
Yeah.
It's still entitled, but okay. That is fine. Everybody else would have just had to go to the bathroom, right?
All right. Mental health moment.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, you know, this one kind of goes in line with one of our topics, real good topics. And this is the decision, or Draymond Green's decision, to step away from the team, step away from the Warriors during this time.
Yeah.
While he was going to be subject to discipline, none of us know what that discipline was going to be. But I think it was very mature of him, even though I didn't feel like he took accountability for what happened. I think it was very mature of him to step away from, you know, the team to maybe reflect on not just these actions that could have possibly led to a suspension, but some of his actions, you know, throughout his time as a Warrior.
So I am in agreement with what you're saying, that it was very mature of him. What's going to be even more mature is to take this time to go and get some therapeutic help. Because there is, and I know I say this about a lot, but it is a lot of people who suffer from, they don't have to be severe like issues, but from mental health issues, it could be as simple as trauma that causes you to have mental health issues. So I'm just saying, but it's almost like OB, what is it? Obstinate defiance disorder. Oppositional defiance disorder. Yes, him. It's almost like you are like literally. And so I'm not saying get a diagnosis. I'm just saying talk to somebody, bro. Yeah. While you don't just go home and reflect on your own, talk to somebody. And so it is a smart move on his part. And that's why I picked it as a mental health moment, mm-hmm. because I felt like it was a opportunity for him to take this time and go and just have a conversation. Reflect on some things. Right. What's going on, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, feel good final thought?
Yeah.
Now, you know I like this story.
I know.
But you put this so perfectly that I'm just going to introduce the person. Okay. And I'm gonna let you cook on this one.
Okay.
Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah.
Who is the interim head coach of the Celtics. I don't know if the interim tag applies here.
I don't know that they put interim on it.
Okay.
I don't know if they put that on there, but essentially that's what he is.
Yeah.
Until they decide what they're gonna do.
He's the head coach of the Celtics right now. He is who is taking place of Ime Udoka.
Mm-hmm.
But his story and his route to the NBA is interesting, to say the least.
Yes. So, what is the school?
Oh, not necessarily the school, but like
it was, but level? It was like it was a division. It was a Division II school.
Mm-hmm.
He was the coach of a Division II school, and they went on a run of winning, I should have pulled the story up, but they went on a run of winning, and he ended up being called by it was funny Ume called him.
Uh-huh.
To come be a part of his coaching staff. And, you know, I love this story because his thought process is what it says here. Stay ready. It's always God's time to stay ready, mm-hmm. because he was a Division II. It hasn't even been 3 years
mm-hmm.
that you went from coaching a Division II. Now, most of the time, so for you all who don't really follow sports, let's just say that road to coaching in the NBA is a tedious one. It's an arduous mm-hmm. road, and it takes you from, you know, like most people who coach D1 would go then coach D2 would then coach D1 mm-hmm. and then they might get a shot to be you know, somebody that's on the staff and on the coaching staff of an NBA team years later, and then they get those opportunities to grow within the organization and get closer and closer, and maybe they make it to being the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
This is divine God intervention. God, this is a story of truly when God says it's your time, it is your time.
Yeah.
Because this man was 3 years ago coaching D2, skipped D1,
mm-hmm.
came to the Celtics, and now you skipped over some other steps to be the head coach.
Yeah.
This is nothing but God. That's all I can say. But God is should be the title of this feel good. But God.
But God.
Now, I love this for him.
Let me say, just because I pulled up a little bit of information. Yeah. He was a basketball player, played for West Virginia University, and I believe that's Bob Huggins.
That's where he went. That's where he coached, right?
That's where he played at West Virginia University. Okay. He went undrafted in the 2011 draft, and then he immediately started his career at D2 Glenville State University.
Okay, that's what it was. Okay.
After two, three years, he left Glenville and went to Fairmont State as an assistant. He left Fairmont State, went to Maine, the Maine Red Claws.
Y'all, none of these schools is no, this is not schools you're going to see in March Madness, okay? So just be clear about this, okay? All right.
And so from 2017 to 2019, he was the head coach of Fairmont State. He got the call to come up as a Boston Celtics assistant.
Don't happen like that, baby. That's God intervention. It doesn't happen like that.
At all, yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
You coached at three schools that probably nobody's ever heard of other than the people who actually go there.
Schools, yeah.
Yeah. That's it. So, nothing but a divine order from God, and it should give everybody some hope that what's for you is for you.
Yeah.
And when it's your time. But the point is, be ready, because he was ready.
Right.
He didn't say, oh, no, I've been coaching at Division II for the last 5 years. Like, no way am I ready to be in the NBA and then to get the call. Once you're in the NBA for a couple of years. Oh, by the way, we'd like for you to coach the team. So be ready so you don't have to get ready.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yes.
Great feel good final thought.
Really, it really is.
Love this.
All right. Yeah. Show picks. Okay. What you watching?
Yeah. So I have discovered this show. I think it's on you know, there are several like black streaming networks right now. I can't remember which one it's on, but this show is on Hulu. Mm-hmm. It's called Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah.
Listen, let me tell you something. If you don't watch the show for any other reason but the music.
Oh, it's like that?
I mean, like, they take me back. Back to 90s, 2000s. Listen, the music is it's off, yeah. But the show is great. Obviously, it's about an African-American female who is a dynamic attorney, defense attorney, and just her and her adventures as a woman, as a mom, as a wife, as a black woman in a world that is not typically for them, you know, as an attorney and a defense attorney. And just, it's good.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
I've been hearing about it. And I still gotta take a look at it.
It is a good show. I like some of the other people that are on there. We've seen in different things before. I know Gray Eyes, what's his name? From Barbershop.
Michael Ealy.
Michael Ealy is in the show. So yeah. It's a pretty good show.
From the DMV.
It's a pretty good show.
You know, whenever I know someone's from there, they get shouted out.
I'm gonna say this. This must be how my friend feels, because football, I'm forever saying, you heard where they said he's from. That's a Georgia boy.
Yeah.
That's a UGA boy. That's
right. I'm about to say that you identify with this.
So I imagine that this is how they feel. Because I'm always doing this to them. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the show I'm watching.
What you watching? Yeah.
Abbott Elementary.
Oh my God.
Can I tell you, Quinta Brunson knocked this thing out the park.
It is so accurate.
And it's so accurate. So accurate. As a teacher who has worked in elementary.
Yeah.
And I've worked in every level of education, actually. But specifically, because this is at an elementary school, and some of the things that are going on, I can identify. And I feel like I've put this up as my show pick before. I can identify some of my former coworkers who have the same attributes of all of
these. Please tell me not the principal.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
She is over the top, baby. Oh, yeah. She is over the top.
And I'm not gonna say the name. But
no, please don't.
I'm not a principal just like that.
Oh, please. That is, oh my gosh. Yeah. She is over the top.
Yes,
no, she deserved everything, and they deserved every accolade they received for this show. Because it is terrific.
Yeah. It's nice to see Shirley Ralph really be recognized for her role.
Yes.
Because
she's such a good actress. I don't know why it's taking this long for people to see that. Like, she can, she's one of the few people that you can watch do different stuff and totally get into believing that they're who they are. You don't think about the other characters they've been, or, you know what I mean? Like, I can't look at Danny Glover and never see nothing but him in The Color Purple.
Yeah. Yeah.
As much as I love Lethal Weapon, I still see him in The Color Purple.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And some people.
He will always be missed.
Oh my gosh. So, but for her to be, and that's not a knock on his acting ability, it might be a praise for how good he played the role, but
yeah,
she is really good, and I'm glad she won, and Quinta won. It was well deserved. I love that show. Love that show. Yeah. We appreciate it, educators.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Steph, we are at the end of another one.
Yeah.
Episode 180 in the books.
Yeah.
If you guys like to get in touch with us, you can shoot us an email at our email address, FieldToTheRealPodcast. That's Field2TheRealPodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on all of our socials. Our Twitter is @Field2TheRealP1. Our IG is @Field2TheRealPodcast. If you want to hit us up on Facebook, YouTube, or TikTok, look right above Step. It's Field2TheRealPodcast. That's T-O and not the number two. Go to our YouTube channel. Subscribe, share, like, comment, all that good jazz. We love to hear your feedback. And hit us up, like, if you want to be on the show, if you'd like to suggest topics, if you would like to tell us how wrong we were about something, as long as you do it respectfully, like, we okay with it.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely, and my people, like, stop texting me and disagreeing. Disagree in the comments, okay?
Not texting you.
Yeah, don't text me and disagree. Disagree in the comments.
They disagreeing with you or with us?
With me.
Because they feel like they need to tell you directly. Okay.
Right, I'm not gonna put this on social media. I'm
telling you. Yeah. No. Okay. Oh well.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we are out of here. Peace.
Peace.
I'm gonna forever mess with you on or not put
forever. I know. It's okay.
All right, y'all. Now put the cameras on me, 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 put the cameras on me.